Well, open your Bibles up to Psalms 23. You know, usually when somebody's going to talk about faith, they'll tell you to go to Mark chapter 11, 22, 23. But here's something. In dealing with faith, we need to know with whom it is we are dealing with. It is not enough to know about Him. We must know Him. The religious doctrine isn't going to work. The mama's ideas isn't going to work. Each individual person has to know who it is they're dealing with. Remember in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, it talks about this is a confidence that we have in Him. You can't have confidence in somebody that you don't know. You know, you have to know somebody to put confidence in them. Let's read this chapter here. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There's a lot in there, but you got to understand, this is our loving Father, our loving Shepherd, our good Shepherd. Notice He has a "Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Now, I grew up in sheep country, and there was a lot of sheep around there when I grew up. And they still had some of them staffs. They were long canes. The things were that long. And the thing about a sheep, sometimes when it doesn't rain a lot there, the ponds and the creeks will get low and muddy, and the sheep will walk out in that mud and they'll get bogged. So the guy that's taking care of the sheep can take that staff and reach out there and get that sheep around the neck and pull that thing to safety. And then the rod is for staving off wolves, you know, staving off predators, you know. Here's the thing. I have never in my life seen anybody break the leg on one of his sheep because it did something wrong. I never in my life seen somebody harm his sheep because it got in the wrong pen. I never seen that, ever. But there's pastors running around saying that He'll cause you harm if you make mistakes. They don't know God. One of the best pictures I ever seen was a picture of Jesus carrying a lamb. You know, holding that lamb, keeping it safe, carrying that lamb. That's what He does with us. He carries us. He takes care of us. He does not hurt His sheep to teach them a lesson. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That pretty much says it all right there. As sheep herders, they do everything they can to feed their sheep, protect their sheep, make sure their sheep are in the right place, have everything they need. They watch over them night and day. That's how God does us. He watches over us night and day. He does everything he can to make sure we have enough food, clothing, shelter, and the stuff that we want. You know, if we want something that's just going to bring joy to our heart. It's important to understand this. In order to have strong faith, you're going to have to know Jesus. Amen? Now notice, I didn't say you're going to have to know about faith. You're going to have to know about Jesus. You're going to have to know him. That's the way to strong faith. Knowing him. Amen? Now, Psalms 23 is basically the John 10:10 of the Old Testament. You know, John 10:10 says, "A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." See, you need to circle that verse. Highlight it with your favorite crayon. Do everything and you can absolutely, positively do to remember that verse. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the devil. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to have the good things in life. So, since Psalms 23 is the John 10:10 of the Old Testament, we must realize it is God's will and desire to live the abundant life. See, there's some people that think they're destined to just barely get by. Well, God makes sure we have enough beans. We pay the rent. That's about all we need. Some beans and some cornbread. A little bit of ham, we'll be all right. Well, yes, God does make sure that you do have enough beans, cornbread, and ham, and that you can pay your rent, but he doesn't want you to just stop there. He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? He wants you to have more than enough. He wants you to be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of living water that keeps on producing fruit, even in drought. He wants your branches to grow over your neighbor's fence so they can have some over here and then they can have some over here. He wants you to have some to help somebody else. Amen? You know why he's so interested in you helping somebody else? It might be food, it might be a little bit of gas, it might be just a few bucks here and there, just anything. Because he said in his word that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. You know, I don't know if you know this, but people really don't care what you know. They want to know that you care. That's an important thing to remember. So you don't have to be carrying a PhD in theology. All you really have to do is have the ability to let people know that you care. You know, and say, "Hey man, I've been in a hard spot before. Here's a few bucks. You know, I don't want it back. Maybe just someday when you get on your feet, pay it forward. Help somebody else." And I didn't say if you see a Christian having a hard time, although you should help a Christian having a hard time, but I said if you see anybody having a hard time, help them out. Amen. You'll find them in your travels. When you leave town and you go to the gas stations on your trips around the country, you'll find them. You know, God has ways of blessing His children through that. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. This is one of the Jehovah titles. It's called Jehovah Roi. I shall not want. The doctrine of supplying lawful wants as well as needs is taught in both Testaments. He wants you to have more than enough. He knows what you need. And He knows what you want. Sometimes He just needs a little cooperation from you. You know, He knows when money's tight. This really is a cool key. I'm going to give you this key. Show you how to operate in it. And watch God bless you. When you are down and you don't have much money, maybe you don't have much money, maybe you have plenty, maybe you don't. Well, we were getting ready to move down here. And I needed to put some money together. And it just was just coming in, you know, just the regular flow. But I went to the gas station where I went every day on my way to work. And there was this guy there from Oklahoma. And he said, "Man, you got a few bucks so I can get a burrito?" And I said, "Yeah." "I said, why ain't you working? I mean, there's jobs. They needed people." He said, "My license is messed up, and I got to go back home, and I got to get it fixed, and then it'll be all right." And I said, "Yeah, I'll get you a burrito." And I said, "I'll get you two. I'll get you one for this morning, one for this afternoon." "I don't have to do that." "So I know I don't have to do that." So the next day, I go to the gas station, and there he is. I said, "Man, how about a couple burritos?" And he said, "Brother, I could use a couple burritos." Got him a couple burritos. So the next day, I seen him, and he said, I'm going to just start walking." And I said, "How are you doing that?" He said, "I'm going to go to Cheyenne." So anyway, I said, so I got him a couple burritos, and I found out what the weather was, and it was going to be a treacherous blizzard coming to Cheyenne. So I went to the gas station. He was gone. So I went down the highway, and I seen him walking. I pulled over, and I said, "Hey, man, you can't be walking. This is going to get ugly." I said, "Here's $100. Go over to the bus station and get a bus ticket and go home." So went to church, and we were still low on funds, but we were walking on faith and wanted to say goodbye to everybody, you know, made sure we leave the church right. And we walked out of there with $15,000 in our pocket because they took up a love offering for us so we could get down here and get set up. God has ways. His ways are not our ways, and his financial system works way better than ours does. You know, man works on percent. God works on multiplication. Amen. He just wants you to have faith in Him that He's got a good shepherd and that He's going to make things right. Amen. Now go to Psalms 34, verse 9. I'm telling you, this is a true key. When you're at the gas station, somewhere out of town, somebody asks you for a few bucks, unload a few bucks on them. And don't give it any more mind. Just go on. Amen? Psalm chapter 34, verse 10 says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Verse 9 says, "Fear the Lord, you His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." Now, that's not talking about being afraid of him, but that's those that honor him and honor, have respect towards him and honor towards him. And when you seek him, see, seeking him is different than just going to church once a week. Seeking him is trying to figure out what he's saying to you. You know, this is his will for your life. He wrote it down for you. I've seen people that wasted 10 years trying to find out what God's will was for them, or more. They'd take up diets, they'd take up exercise, they'd take up yoga, they'd go on all kinds of trips, do whatever, and I'm just trying to figure out what God's will is for my life. Well, pick up the Bible. He wrote it down for you, and it's a pretty good will. Amen? And one of it is for you to be abundantly prospered and well supplied, taken care of, fed, clothed, and living good. So there's that word, no want, again, in verse 9. No want. The doctrine of no want to believers is one of the most clearest and most comprehensive declarations of Scripture. In view of the simple and complete promises, the only excuse for not having every need and want met within the bounds of Scripture is unbelief and ignorance of truth. See, now sometimes people are in doubt because they've been taught wrong all their life. Sometimes people will sit in church and they'll get taught that money's bad. See, money's not bad. In case you haven't noticed, you're not going to go buy groceries without money. Or gas. Or electricity. Or heat. Or rent. You're not going to buy Bibles without money. You know, I had to send missionaries around without money. I don't know. You know something we don't? I thought maybe there was something in one of those Guns N' Roses songs that says you don't have to have money. No, look. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil, but it's when you have such an overpowering lust for money, a greed for money, that overtakes you sometimes. Now that will destroy a person. But it's not money that's bad. John said, I wish above all things that you prosper, even as your soul prospers. See, that's where people get in trouble sometimes. They don't prosper their spirit and their soul. They don't get control of their soul with their spirit. And then they'll sometimes run into a lot of money. I knew a man that went to Deadwood. This guy was a solid guy as far as I'd been around him. You know, he was a nice guy. And he went to Deadwood and won $500,000. And that was the last I seen of him. He was no longer with us. And I don't know how long he lived after that. I don't know if the pressure just got him and he got back to drinking or what. I don't know. But sometimes a man with a lot of money and no sense is a disaster to his own self. Amen? Look at Psalm chapter 84, verse 11. Psalms chapter 84, verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." So how do we walk uprightly? By believing the new creation realities that he did for us on the cross. Agreeing with God and saying what he says about you. "I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I might feel like a weasel, but I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I might feel bad about what I did yesterday, but I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." That's how you walk uprightly, by agreeing with the Word. More importantly, when you agree with the Word, your behavior is going to change. Amen? But here's the thing. You're not walking according to the law. So if you get in the flesh and you make a mistake, you're still the upright of God. You're believing what Jesus did for you on the cross. You're not believing in your own good works. Amen? So here we have it stated again that God will supply wants as well as needs. Every good thing and no evil thing. This is important. I have preachers tell me, "Well, God will supply your need." "Yeah, well, I want a new horse." Well, what you want and what you get is different, is a whole other thing. No, that is not what the Bible says. He supplies your wants too. Amen? Maybe you might just want a car. Maybe you might just want a motorcycle. You know? He's not a hard father. See, we have such a hard time separating him from our earthly dads and earthly parents. And sometimes people may have had a real hard-nosed parent. You know, when you was a kid, when you went up to your parents and asked them for a bicycle, did they say, "Well, do you really need a bicycle? Is this going to make you money? Is this going to do something to help the family?" "Well, no, I just want a bicycle. I'm five. I just want a bicycle." But most earthly parents would be more than happy to do whatever they could to get their kid a bicycle. How much more God, who put his son on the cross and then freely gave us everything with Christ Jesus, how much more willing do you suppose he is to try to get us some of the desires of our heart? Amen? Our job is to receive it. Our job is not to beg for it. Our job is to receive it. Remember, I said he gave you all things with Christ Jesus. It's wrapped up in him. When we start thanking him, remember the Bible says that God calls things that aren't as though they are. He's teaching us how faith works. So we need a new truck. What are we going to do? We're going to spend the next 10 years on our knees asking God to give us a new truck? Or are we going to say, "Father, I thank you that this new truck is supplied by the blood of Jesus. It's already been met at the cross. And I thank you for this. I receive it in Jesus' name." Well, where is your new truck? You just tell them other Christians that ask you those smart aleck questions like that to If they're not going to get in a face with you, to just back off. That's one of the most irritating things. When other Christians come up and try to get Christians off of their faith. When somebody tells you what they're believing for, say, all right, cool. I agree with you. I agree with you. I believe that in with you. Amen. Remember, God said that He would supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, not out of His riches. See, that's how people operate. If I have $100 and I give you $20, I have $80 left. Now, if I give you $20, then I'm down to $60. Because I'm giving out of what I got. But God, He can give you $100 and it's like it wasn't even missing. So you don't have to be jealous of somebody else when they get blessed. Just say, praise God, God's in the blessing business. Mine's next. Amen. But here's what happens a lot of times. If people get crazy in their minds and they get mad. Why did he get blessed and I didn't? After all, I went to church 10 years longer than him. And I do all this other stuff that he probably don't even fast. He probably don't pray as much as I do. And I know he don't read the Bible as much as I do. So why did he get blessed and not me? Well, if you would get off your self-righteous pity pot and start thanking God for what you got and thanking God for what He's given you, even though you can't see it, your blessing's right around the corner. It's that fast. Thank Him. You know, Jesus thanked His way into miracles. We can too. That's the key to answered prayer. Find out what he's given you in here, and then thank Him for it. Amen? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. This will be our last one for tonight. The more you learn of Jesus, the more of His treasures are going to flow into your life. And I'm not talking about just money. Money is the baser thing. Go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. But money is a baser form of the blessing. You know, there's spiritual blessings that will just blow you away. When you get to operate in some of these blessings and share them with people, that's when it gets really cool. Because then you just sit there in humility and think, man, God used me to do that. And I got to see it. It's really cool when that happens. Unfortunately, a huge percentage of the church is focused on the money, not on everything else, not the total package. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, says, ask, it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? This gives us some insight into the infinite fatherhood, the infinite fatherhood of God, and the certainty of answered prayer. Verse 7 says, ask. The idea here is to demand something that is due one because of family and redemptive rights. You're not demanding a God. You're just pulling on His covenant. You're pulling on what He's already paid for. The blood of Jesus gave you. It's God's will that we ask and get what we want. That is His will for you, for your life. Verse 8 says, everyone. When you get born again, you become one of the every ones. No exception to the rule for anyone. If there is, it is because of failure to ask in faith, nothing wavering. The only reason for unanswered prayer to a Christian is unbelief, and unbelief is caused by wrong teaching. You absolutely have to pay attention to who you're listening to. You have to pay attention to what your ears are hearing. You have to take your Bible to church. You have to open that up. Wherever you may go, I don't care how famous the preacher is, what he is saying is not agreeing with the Word of God, throw it out. Amen? Unbelief is caused by wrong teaching. The promises are unlimited, so if there is a limitation in answer, there is a limitation of faith, not of God's will or power. So let's stop there, and we'll pick up on this next Wednesday. Keep building on this foundation of faith. But the key thing is to look to Jesus. Look to the cross. See Him in His grace. See what He's already done for you. See what He's already done. You'll see Him in His grace, and He'll see you in faith. The words of Jesus will cause faith to rise up in your heart. Amen? Amen. Thank You, Father, for Your word. We praise You in the name of Jesus for it. We thank You that You wrote it down for us so that we could open up and follow the directions. Father, we thank You for everything that Jesus did for us in His death, burial, and His resurrection, and everything that He's doing for us now as our high priest, as He's making intercession for us by taking our prayers that we offer up, and He takes them and makes them perfect when He presents them to You. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.